You're, I'm LJ.
What's cracking, y'all? It's Stevie Nicks.
And we're Knicks fans.
And welcome to Knicks Anonymous.
Myself, and I think we see Willis coming out.
Fast break to Walt Frazier. Frazier then slows it down. It's picked up by Jerry West at the top of the post. Three.
The New York Knicks.
Here's David Stern
for
with the announcer.
First pick, select Patrick Ewing.
Bernard looking for 50, and he's got it. Back to back 50-point games for Bernard King.
Anthony for three.
Johnson cuts left, now fires a three,
it is good, and he's fouled, it counts, and he is fouled.
Barrett drives down, this time finishes with authority.
Yeah, what is going on, New York? Welcome back to another episode of
Knicks Anonymous, and things are not looking good at the moment, folks.
But before we get that, welcome to Knicks Anonymous.
Episode... Wait, sorry about that.
Welcome to Knicks Anonymous.
I got cut off by the sound effect. I was going to say episode 35.
Yeah, episode 35, man. Right here. Yeah. Like what Stevie said, it's not looking so hot. It's looking like a mighty L. At least we got one win, right?
Yeah. We're down the dreaded 3-1 lead, and
but Warriors blew a 3-1 lead.
History shows 3-1 leads aren't safe in the NBA. The Denver Nuggets came back from 2 last year. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing that out there. So I'm personally not giving up hope, despite how bad things look. But now that I got that out the way, like we said, we're on episode 35.
Shout out to the Knicks Anonymous family. Shout out to everybody who's been sticking with us for 35 long episodes.
Yes, sir, and ma'ams.
All the
out
way
there.
All the way through the ups and all the way through the downs.
Other people. follow us on Instagram. What else? Follow us on Instagram. Check us out on.
Come on. I know you got this. I know it's
Apple
been a while.
Music, Spotify.
I know it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. Apple Music, this. Spotify, Amazon.
What did you say? You said Apple Music. You said Spotify?
Yeah.
You said Pandora?
No, I did not say Pandora.
You said iHeartRadio?
I did not say iHeartRadio.
Did you say, what was the other one? Breaker.
We always both get that one. Don't get that one. So. Yeah. Those are the platforms we're on. Check us out on all those. Just to get that out the way.
Oh, dude. Sorry, guys, if we're a little out of whack. We got the Lakers game going on right now. We just really want LeBron to lose.
Yeah.
Because we want to feel better about the Knicks not winning.
Yeah. Not for nothing, though. That dunk he did was pretty dope.
Who?
LeBron.
Or with the spin move?
Yeah, that was a pretty dope move. I can't even lie. Shout out to LeBron for that.
Someone also had Toppin had a pretty good dunk in the postseason.
Nah, he did that finger roll today. That looked like some George Gervin Iceman shit.
Oh, with the spin move? He did like a... No, he didn't do the spin. He just went right to the rack.
Yeah, that was pretty
finger
sweet.
Finger rolled it.
That was pretty sweet. Shout out to Obi Toppin for that.
That was pretty cool. Obi Toppin's been doing really good, man. Not for nothing.
Yeah, we'll get into all that. But how are we starting the show?
We're going to start it with the, as always, man, the light it or clip that, man.
Yeah, light it or clip that.
Light it or clip that, man.
Yeah, we still don't have a song for that yet.
Damn, bro, come on, man. I know it's been a week. We took a break.
We're out of whack, bro, because, like, we didn't expect to be here. So, you know, like, well, then again, like, we didn't expect to be in the playoffs anyway. So, you know, it's kind of cool that we're here, but, you know, it's not cool that we're in the position we're in. So there's
we're getting our ass kicked.
Like you said, we're going to talk about that. There's balance to this. So right now we're like in the middle.
And we'll get into the balance.
Yeah.
But for now, let's start it off small.
Yeah, we're going to do that anyway. Light it or clip that. I usually do like 3 or 4 questions for light it or clip that. But being that we're in the playoffs and we're only playing one team, I only have one question.
And what is it?
Just one.
Drum roll.
And
I don't have a drum roll needed.
No drum roll needed. Nothing dramatic.
Well, I didn't have one anyway, so you weren't going to get
but
one.
But we do got to get that, yeah. We do got to get the drum roll. Now that you say that, for moments like this.
You weren't going to get one.
But that's what I'm saying. We got to get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we got to get it.
For moments like this, even though it's not a drum roll moment, but it turned into one. For moments like this, we got to get the
it
drum roll.
It could have been a drum roll moment.
Okay, so.
It had a potential.
But anyway, yeah, like I said, it's usually three or four questions, but today it's only going to be one simple one. Light it or clip that. Despite the improvement the Knicks defense and the team overall has made this year, perimeter defense is still a problem.
I'm going to light that.
I am also going to light that.
I'm going to light that all the way.
Why are you lighting it?
I'm lighting it because the Hawks have too many outside threats. Too much for us to handle at that. I feel like our defense was good against teams that really weren't that good of a three-point shooting team.
Or at least average at best.
Yeah.
Because Trae Young and Bogdanovic aren't your average three-point shooters. Those guys are snipers. So
yeah, heavy on the sniper. And plus, we have to play them repeatedly through the series. So, you know, if you don't make those adjustments, you're going to get punished.
And the weakness shows, obviously, because...
Yeah, honestly, most of their points, I mean, before they were killing us in the paint. I mean, I'm not even going to lie to you. Everything is wrong. Everything that's happening to us is, take note, because in the first two losses, right before this one, they were killing us in the paint. We could not stop them in the paint. Like, we had zero paint presence. Now they killed us on the outside. So it's showing us how much we miss Mitch or some type of threat on the inside, and how much we're lacking good perimeter defenders.
Yeah, like I was telling you earlier about Mitch, the difference between him and Noel, it's no disrespect to Noel, because Noel's actually not having a bad series.
No,
he's
not
playing,
at all.
He's playing pretty good.
And he's playing hurt, so.
Yeah, he's playing hurt, and he's playing pretty decent defense. But the difference between him and Mitch and how Mitch would help in this series right now is because Mitch is more quick-footed than Noel is. Like, Mitch could come out and guard the perimeter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he could make those adjustments that would help in a series like this one where we would need it. He's done it before, too.
He's done it on smaller guards. He's not afraid to step out there.
Exactly. And, you know, Mitch is good for getting those blocks at the three-point line. I don't know if there's a stat for it, but for the last few seasons, I've seen him do it the most.
I'm sure he's the highest percentage in there.
I would say so myself. I guess that's something we could look into, but... From what we see, I'm gonna say he's number one.
But he's top three.
I'm not
three.
Sure, but he got to be up there.
Top three at least.
So I personally think his presence would have made a difference as far as perimeter defense goes, because a lot of adjustments that we're not making now, Mitch could have potentially made. You know, would we have won or lost? I don't know. You know,
I think it would have been better though.
Yeah.
It would have definitely helped in a positive way.
Exactly. No, I feel you. So Mitch is missed. Point being,
yeah, Mitch is definitely
and it's showing,
because honestly, I forgot how much of a good perimeter defender that he is.
And it's crazy too, because he works from the inside to the outside. He's that fast.
Yeah,
so you know what I mean, we don't have that big man presence who can do that. You know, Noel holds down the inside, which is great. Don't get it twisted. It is great.
But they're killing us from the outside.
Yes.
It's hurting us
from the
outside.
And that's where Mitch would have made the difference. So, yeah, perimeter defense does still need an improvement. And not only that, guys such as, you know, Burks.
So, does that mean
guys such as, like, Quigley are kind of getting exposed? Does not mean that good of perimeter defenders, you know what I mean?
ISO defenders.
Yeah, exactly.
Because when we played other teams, we were kind of like help. It's kind of help defense. We can't really help because you have Bogdanović, Collins, Trae Young, and Herter.
Yeah, like it's easier.
That's crazy.
It's easier for them to spread the floor. You know what I mean? Like with our defensive scheme.
And that's something we lack, but we're going to get there. That's like a little hint. But back to the Mitchell Robinson thing. Does this mean he's not actually the dark horse in the trade bait rumors?
I'm not sure. I mean,
it is seen now how much we need him.
It's kind of getting off the whole lighter to clip that topic, but you know, it's kind of not. So we're here. You know what? We're here.
We're here. We're continuing the conversation.
we got it. We're here. Does it? I don't think so. But it does show, like, his value.
I mean, it does because you said it hurts our perimeter defense.
To an extent, yeah.
So he's definitely the perimeter defense, like, he's the talk of the perimeter of how much he's missed.
Well, I'm not going to say, like, him not being here is the sole reason our perimeter defense is struggling. I'm just saying him being here would probably help it and make a difference. I think our perimeter defense would still be struggling because, like I said, Quickly's not that good of a defender. Burks isn't that good of a defender. They're pretty decent, you know what I mean? RJ's showing he's a pretty good defender. He's gotten better.
He's had some glimpses.
Shout out to RJ, though. He's had a few moments. He's had a few lockdown moments.
Yeah, RJ's been clutch lately.
Yeah, like,
we're going to get to him later, too, because he's very valuable.
Yeah, despite what the numbers show, because, like, if you look at the numbers, RJ's not having a good postseason percentage-wise.
But
there's hope.
Yeah, he definitely... Me and Stevie saw something very special today, and we'll share it with you guys. Just give it a second.
So as far as like,
we're almost done.
Nah. So as far as us needing help on the perimeter defensive, excuse me. As far as us needing help on perimeter defense, mm-hmm. I'm definitely lighting that.
I'm lighting. We definitely need help.
Where should we go come off season? Should we lose this series? Because I'm not gonna lie, bro. I'm not gonna put a 3-1 comeback past us.
It's not over till the fat lady sings.
Exactly.
She ain't sing yet.
Yeah, I'm not giving up.
It's just not looking good.
I know, I agree.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying it's over, but like how I said, like, they need to show me something.
Yeah, I agree. But like I said, like, it's still another game. That's how I see it.
Still one more game. Still, the possibility is there. So keep your head. New Yorkers, we never put our heads down.
Yeah, exactly.
We always look straight and walk through things.
All right, but as far as the offseason goes, how are we going to address perimeter defense? We actually have to look into that, so I guess we'll save that for another show.
Yeah, but just to give it some context, we have what we know so far. We have 4 picks going into this year's draft:
the 19th, the 21st, and 2 second rounders. Correct?
Yes.
I
think the very last one. I think the 60th. One is the 60th,
bro. I'm just throwing it out there, but I really think I'm not going to call this a hot take, but it's just me guessing. I think the Knicks may try to package those picks and some players for the number one pick.
I wouldn't mind. Who would you get? Did you have somebody
Cade
in mind?
Cade Cunningham.
Cunningham?
He'd be the number one pick.
Because I'm going to say this from here through the offseason all the way until next year's draft. The Knicks need somebody. No matter if it's a point guard, small forward, shooting guard, center,
whatever
the position, they need to specialize in 3-point shooting. That definitely needs to be the top of that list.
Yes, we need 3-point
shooters. I understand that we are in need of a point guard as well.
Kay Cunningham.
Correct.
Just saying.
He's a point guard who can do what?
He can shoot.
He can shoot. He can
and he can defend a little.
He can shoot.
He's not a gunner, but he can't shoot.
But he'll definitely help the situation. We just need somebody that can shoot the ball relatively consistent.
Facts. And Kate Cunningham's the truth, bro. Like, he's like, there's no questions asked. He's the number one pick.
And people would say, okay, we have Burks and Bullock. Cool.
They're good, but like... It's obvious.
Not only would we get a younger star that we can actually form to our...
Exactly. It's
like,
I
feel like these guys are just here just to like...
I think... So you think Bullock's not going to be a keeper?
I'm not going to lie. I think Burks is going to be the one to walk. Wow. And Bullock the one to stay.
I don't know about that.
Only because of the defense.
Well, who knows? We'll see.
If we do get a three... Because one of them has to go if we get a 3-point shooter.
Not really. Not necessarily. It depends on what position we get.
So if we get a small forward, they stay.
I would guess so. I hope it's not Kawhi. At one point, I wanted Kawhi, but not now.
I don't want Kawhi. Off topic. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to get into these, man. We're going to get into these games right now, man. We're going to get it right or semi-right. Do you want to start up? No, we'll go in order. We'll go in order. The first game, man, was definitely a nail-biter, man. The first game was definitely the definition of playoff intensity basketball. Like,
hey, we were live that game.
Was the first game?
Yeah, we were live. Yeah, we were. That's why we didn't have an episode last week. Yeah, we were live. So last week we did like a little special.
It's a two-parter. It's a first half and second half.
Yeah.
If you guys missed it, you guys can check it out on the Knicks Anonymous Instagram, where you can follow us. You keep up to date with us, the Knicks, and anything else in between, if there may be an in between.
Yeah, and if you watch that live,
you can see the excitement.
You can
the pandemonium.
You can see me at the end of the game, right before Trae Young hit the shot, and I said, oh my God, why do I have a bad feeling about this?
And what do you know?
He hit the shot.
And what do you know? He hit the shot.
Final score, Hawks 107, Knicks 105.
But that was a very good game, though. It was very hard fought on both sides. It was definitely, like, the Knicks came out, and you felt it. They wanted it. You know, this is what they wanted. This is what they fought here. You know, even though Randle had a bad game. Did he have a bad game this game?
Shooting-wise, yes, but he did have a double-double. He had 15 points, 12 boards.
Okay, this was one of Randle's good games, like you could say.
Nah, bro, 6 for 23, that's terrible.
That is terrible, but that's good from what we've been getting.
Yeah, I guess so. Whatever.
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks.
Burks is the one who killed that game. 27 points, 3 boards, 4 assists. He was 3 of 5 from 3.
Yes, sir. My guy Bear had 14.
9 of 13 overall, man. Burks was... Yeah,
and
Burks was hitting clutch shots. Burks was making smart decisions, man.
I wish we could have that every night.
It's crazy. Like, this game, even though we lost this game...
It hurt, man.
We're missing the intensity from this game.
And, like, it got completely sucked out of us after the...
After Trae,
for some reason, after the win, after we won, and then we went to Atlanta and everything changed. You want to know what changed?
What's that?
Elfrid Payne not starting.
We're
going to get there, though.
Yeah, we'll get there in a minute because that's not this game.
That's not this game.
That was game one. That was game
Payne
that was game two,
game.
Right?
Game two, he started again.
No, it was game three.
Game three.
Because that's when his moms came. And was
yeah,
like,
you saw the tweet? He's like, you got what you wanted.
Yeah.
This is all you want. he's like, you got what y'all wanted.
That's crazy. she threw ill shade at the Knicks, bro. That's crazy.
Respectfully, though.
Nah, yeah. But, you know who else killed us in this game, bro?
My mom would have done the same thing.
I know. Bogdanović dropped 18 on us in game one. He killed. Bro, he's been killing us this series, man.
Do you think we should have signed him?
I wanted us to, but I think we ended up with Burks instead, which is cool. You know, Burks ended up being a good signing, but we could have used Bogdanović's 3-point shooting. I can't.
We could use somebody's 3-point shooting.
Capella killed us, 13 boards.
We have no answer for that guy, man. You know what it is? Every time Trae Young, I get it. It's easier said than done, but we gotta keep Trae Young out the paint. Every time he steps in the paint. The defender that's on the center is forced to help. Because if he doesn't help, Trae Young is going to float it up. And if he doesn't float it up and they do double, he's just going to pass it to Capella for an alley-oop dunk.
Or to Bogdanović for a corner three. Yeah. Or Huerter.
Yeah, this is very annoying. This is something the Knicks don't have. And if you really watch the games, it's deadass ISO best. See, I'm glad the TNT crew or whoever.
ESPN.
ESPN crew said it. They're playing ice. They got here through ISO ball.
Yeah,
it's not going to work in the playoffs.
Yeah, we didn't make the necessary adjustments.
We're still playing ISO ball while the Hawks had a game plan and are continuously to manipulate that game plan as the games evolve. We are not evolving. We are just continuing. We are giving Randle the ball and praying that he drops 30 again. We're praying that he becomes Randle again.
Yep.
Which is not, that's not offense.
Nope.
Randle needs to get the ball and move it instead of... Unfortunately, he's becoming the black hole. I guess I'm speaking overall for the rest of the games that we lost.
Yeah, because we were supposed to move on to game two, which we won 101-92.
Yeah, but I'm not really concerned about that one. I'm not gonna lie.
We had to talk about the good things that we did.
All right, yeah, we'll talk about it.
Even though, bro, I'm looking at the stats, we shot pretty terrible.
And Elfrid
this
Payne
game.
Started this game, by the way.
I'm looking at the stats, we shot pretty terrible this game. 38% overall, 36% from three, 73% from the free throw. Yeah,
our free throws are the only reason why we haven't been getting like blown out by 30.
dude, but we shot pretty bad this game. How did we? Oh, that's why we won. We out-rebounded them on the offensive boards.
Very good.
That helps.
The hustle, man.
That helps.
Toppin had a good game that game. He was looking very, very confident. Toppin's been looking very confident throughout the series.
Yeah, with the little limited minutes he's getting, like, he's putting up numbers. Like, this game, he had 8 points and three boards.
There you go.
You know what I mean? He was a plus six. So
he's doing more than what he was doing in the in the regular season.
Yeah, he's making the most of his minutes, man. Shout out to Toppin, man.
Yeah, shout out to Toppin. You get the claps, man. Quickly's been doing mediocre.
Toppin's been bringing like little excitement when he comes in.
And energy. Yeah. And his defense.
Nah, speaking of defense, how about Taj, yo?
Ah, big boy Todd.
Todd's been playing his ass off this series.
That's
man.
Mike's like, favorite player, man.
But he has been playing his ass off this series, man. Oh, like,
shout out to Dodge. Shout out to Dodge. Shout out to Taj, man.
This game, in game two, he had 6 points, seven boards. Oh, wow. What a stat line. 6 points, seven boards, an assist.
Is this Gibson? Is this Gibson?
Yeah, it's Taj. 6 points, seven boards, an assist, three steals, and a block.
Taj for president, man.
Pretty good, Taj. Yeah, better numbers than Noel. But then Noel was hurt, so yeah.
Do you re-sign Taj Gibson?
Well, yeah, he's not gonna cost too much. Why not?
Yeah.
I'd bring Taj back.
Yeah, Mike, y'all know you want Taj back. Come out the closet, Mike. I know you're a Knicks fan. I know he's a Knicks fan.
Probably. He just won't admit
it. He doesn't want to say it, man. But yeah, so game two, we got the dub, man. You know, clap it up for the dub. We were actually down 14 that game and actually pulled it back.
I don't know why we couldn't do that this game, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Uh-huh. It's actually pretty clear. I mean, not clear, but like, it's clear actually. It's because Elfrid Payton wasn't playing. I'm going to get a lot of hate for that, but I want it.
D-Rose killed this
game. I want the smoke.
D-Rose dropped 26, 4, and 4.
But here's a problem with not starting Elfrid Payton.
Yeah.
D-Rose is limited.
No, it's not that he's limited. Nah, you got that mistaken, bro. The problem with... You know what? I guess let's get into game three.
You have no You have no bench support if Rose is starting.
I was going to get into that. Let's get into game three because that's the game Rose started, right?
Yeah.
When he first started? Okay. We lost that game 105-94, first of all. Let's get that out the way.
Yeah.
And Rose started that game. Tom Thibodeau decided to listen to the fans and started Rose. And he had a good game. 30 points, 6 boards, 5 assists, a steal, and only 2 turnovers.
He is turning back the hand of time.
Yeah, Rose is looking good. But here's the problem, like LJ said just now. It kind of takes away from the spark off the bench. Because remember in the season, you had him and Quigley... Coming off the bench, they little 1-2 punch for some energy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
a spark. Something.
If anything, like the way I see it, if you were going to make a change to the lineup as far as the point guard goes, I would have much rather started Burke or Frank.
Yeah, what's up with Frank?
Because you would still get that. Spark from Rose and Quigley. You know what I mean? And from Toppin.
Yeah.
Because Toppin's been bringing the spark too.
We've been talking about all these problems we've been having with defense.
And yeah, why?
Wouldn't Frank be the perfect option for defense?
I agree, but I guess he's getting flack for the basket from game one. I guess this is...
He's getting trared? He's getting blackballed like Trier did? Remember Alonzo Trier?
Yeah. I'll never forget. I used to like Trier.
One bad game as a starter, bro. And that was it. But, that was the end of his career.
Yeah, like I'm not sure why they're not giving Frank minutes. He would help a lot.
I mean, they stacked the odds against him, man. You can't blame him. It is his job to get off the bench whenever. I get that. But yo, bro, like he was cold. He had cold legs. Trayer was hot. And he bathed him. As any hot all-star player would do. To a man coming off the bench that played only 5 seconds.
Yeah, like you can't do that, man. Like Frank should have stopped him, like because he has before, but still, like that's asking a little too much.
It's a lot. He's, you know, basketball is a game of rhythm. If you have no rhythm, nothing, nada. Your whole lot of, because I'm not gonna lie, he almost got put on a clip, man. Like I'm not, like he almost dropped.
So you think we should start paying?
A friend told me.
Do you think we should start paying?
Do I think we should start paying? Yeah.
Well, do we start Burke? So do we start Quigley? Or do we start Frank?
Okay, if we're all against anti, if we're anti Elf on the Shelf, right? I would rather go Frank, because Burke's gonna play regardless. I would rather get Frank into the flow. Maybe not as a starter.
Give him some kind of minutes, like 10 minutes.
Like maybe two, not as a starter,
like
but
2 minutes, just, like 2 minutes a quarter.
Just enough to give Rose that break that he needs.
Like 2 minutes a quarter.
Yeah, like, cause I wouldn't, I think starting him is asking for too much. I don't know, I wouldn't do that. Frank is not a starting point guard as of right now. But I think he could be in the future if we do keep him and go that route.
Nah, I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, why not? I mean, everybody has potential at the end of the day.
I guess, but it's not looking that way.
It's not, but that's why I said if we choose to go in that direction, which we probably most likely won't.
So, yeah, the game we started Rose, the game we decided to start Rose, I mean, we lost by 9. So, yeah, there's that. Like I said, like...
Honestly, the most common theme about these playoff games is our shooting is traca.
Yeah, like, what did we shoot? Hold on.
Our shooting percentages
we shot 30% from three this game.
In the field?
Oh, God. 35%.
You know what I'm saying? I think almost every game we've shot below 40%.
Not, except for game one.
Except for game one, and we lost.
That's crazy.
That's crazy, man. Honestly, I think the most...
What kept us in the game, like you said, was the free throws. We only missed 3 free throws on Friday. We were 27 of 30. And we out-hustled them on the board, on the offensive boards again, 13-4. Like, how are we losing these games if we're getting all these hustle boards? It's because we're not hitting our shots.
Yeah, we're not hitting our shots.
Duh.
You know what they're doing? We're running into the problem we were having at the beginning of the year.
Oh, bro, and they doubled us. Oh, check this out. On Friday, here's another reason why we lost. They doubled our assist, 28-14.
Everybody's doing a part. That's something the Knicks aren't doing right now. We're playing ISO basketball. What happens is...
The ball stops.
The ball stops right at Randle. And Randle is the... worst at the moment, he's the worst place the ball could stop, unfortunately.
Yeah, he has to attack quicker.
That, and he needs to get it out of his hands faster. Like, it's clear, bro. Like, it's clear. The moment you touch the ball, the double triple team is coming. It's gonna be there. Whether you think it's not, or it's gonna be there. That is their game plan. They wanna make sure you do not, you know, they don't want nothing from you. Nothing. Respectfully, because you were the GOAT of the regular season. I would be terrified as well. And they're doing a great job about it. So, how do we move forward? To me, it's pretty simple, but I guess it's not so simple for the Knicks. If it was so simple for me, I'd be in the NBA, I guess. But what I think should happen is that Randle needs to be able to... He needs to understand that, okay, I'm not going to be able to score as much as I used to, which is okay, because, I mean, it's not okay because we still lack of consistent shooting. So even if Randle does get the ball out quick enough, our guys aren't likely to make it, which is why we need a 3-point shooter or a consistent shooter around her to help him. So if anything, the reason why we're losing the game is because we need an extra piece. We're literally like a piece away.
I would say two.
Two pieces away. We're a piece away from going second round.
No, but like I said, no, don't say that, because then you're saying it's over.
It's not over.
All right, then. So talk about we're a piece away. Dude, we can win the next 3 games.
I bet. I'll bring that up, if anything, next episode.
Yeah.
I'll save that.
I mean, we do need shooting. Don't get it twisted. Like a gunner. Like somebody who's going to fire. We need somebody like...
Bradley Beal.
Nah, I'm good. I'm good. But
Bradley Beal, come to the Knicks, man. Dude, this is my pitch to you.
You do realize Trae Young had like 14 of the 28 assists that led it.
Bro, he's an orchestrator. He's a point guard that the Knicks desperately need.
Well, that kind of point guard, at least. Because we have scoring point guards.
Yeah.
Which isn't bad, because Derrick Rose is doing good, dude. He's averaging 22 points.
He needs help, man. Bro, someone help that.
He's averaging 20. Well, for the playoffs, he
needs some milk.
He's averaging 22 points, 4 boards, 5 assists, and shooting 50% from the field.
I'm not gonna lie.
And from 3.
It's all because of Randle. I'm not gonna lie. I was sugarcoating it. I'm not sugarcoating it no more. We're losing these games because of Randle. Really. And it's not his fault.
Not just him. A lot of people ain't showing up.
That's true. But Randle's specifically not showing up. The man that we need to show up.
A lot of people didn't show up today. We lost 113-96 today. I guess we're moving on to this game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he showed out better than before. He almost had a triple-double. Randle. He had 23 points, 10 boards.
A sloppy
boards.
One, though. What was his field goal?
He had 23 points, 10 boards, 7 assists. Yeah, he didn't shoot too well. He shot 7 of 19. That's better than before. So at least it's still bad, but compared to the previous three games, percentage-wise, he's gotten better. So that's a positive, I'm sorry to say. You know what I mean? So that's not a bad thing. Burks had a lot.
Did RJ have?
Burks had a bad game today. He shot 33%. He wasn't dependable today. But as far as RJ goes, he had 21 points.
All right. Stop right there.
Oh, no. We got more to talk about in this game, bro. You're going to get deep into that, too. Obi Toppin dropped 13. Holy shit. He dropped 13 points?
I think it's a career high.
I don't know if that's a career high, but, like,
I'm pretty sure
I don't recall
high.
Him dropping 13 points, but I'll take it.
I think that's his career high, bro.
I'll take it. Obi had a good game, man. He had that dope finger roll he was talking about earlier. I'm just getting the good out the way before you start breaking down RJ, because I already know what you're going to say about that.
No, it's good. It's very good.
No, it's great. Bullock didn't show up at all today. Well, let me not say at all, because he had 4 rebounds and 2 assists, but he ain't dropped no buckets.
Bro, he had 1 turnover that was so stupid.
Bro, he was old.
What was the turnover? It was the travel. Oh, my God.
Yeah, when he was on the fast break.
Oh, my God.
When he was on the fast break and he had RJ wide open.
Yes, man. Oh,
he faked the pass for some reason.
Oh, my God. You were scared of Trey. Bro, that's what got me so mad.
At that point, you knew it was over, huh?
I told you at halftime. What did I say? I said, I'm sorry, bro, but I got that feeling. The same feeling you got at the end of the game of game one. I had that same exact feeling at halftime.
Well, he did have 0 points, so 0-4.
He had 0 points?
Yeah, 0-4.
Oh, yeah, good job, Bullock.
0-3 from three.
Good stuff. But, yeah, he was – that got me tight, man. Trae Young intimidates you, bro? Let me know. Let me know, bro. Does Trae Young intimidate you?
No.
Oh, my God.
He doesn't intimidate. I like Trae Young, but he doesn't intimidate me.
No, not you. I'm talking to Bullock.
He only intimidates me if he's wide open from three.
I'm talking to Bullock, man. That's why he traveled. He didn't want to shoot it because Trae Young jumped. What do you mean?
See, look, Quickly didn't show up today. You was talking about Randle didn't show up. Quickly didn't even score no points. So we had two rotation players. Quickly and Bullock scored no points.
There's no rhythm.
There's
no offensive rhythm.
Bro, we had two rotation players score no points and another rotation player only scored one.
We're all Westbrooking. We all have the Westbrook effect. Everybody's getting their stats.
Nah, I wouldn't even say that.
Well, not everybody's getting their stats, but, like, you know what I'm trying to say. Like,
nah, not at all. I think you're wrong. It's not that everybody's not trying to get their stats.
It's the ISO.
It's they're not getting their stats. That's the problem.
But we're playing ISO ball in a zone. You can't beat a zone in ISO play. That's literally what a zone is made for. It's to stop the ISO play. We literally need ball movement. If you look at all the reviews and all the times that we did score, the ball was being touched by multiple players on the court. It didn't just stop at Rose. It didn't just stop at Julius Randle. We need to. The way we're gonna beat these Hawks is if we beat them team ball. We can't keep going Randle to the corner with his little baseline jumper. Even though it's very nice, it was falling at times. But now we know we cannot rely on it. Now we need to rely on everybody else as a group, as a collective, to come together and, you know, make some stuff happen. I think we need to get RJ involved more because... Can I go there?
What?
Can I go there? Can I go to RJ now?
Oh, yeah, sure.
So, me and Stevie definitely... There was a point in the game, in today's game, which is the one we just recently lost, which was... What was the score?
What, today?
Yeah.
113-96.
Yes, that game. So... There was a point where RJ would get the ball and he was basically just kind of Swiss cheesing the entire zone and getting to the basket with ease.
And that was today.
Yeah, that was today.
Fool, that was today.
I know. I said today.
No, you said, yeah, that game. But go ahead, continue.
No, I know. That's today. But, damn, what was I saying, bro?
It was times when he was driving to the rim.
Yeah, yeah. So he was making it look at ease, like what Barrett usually does. He's just a truck, which was good. Then it got to a point where he was doing it again, and then forcing everybody around. Like it was like it was amazing. It was like everybody was like a magnet. Like RJ was like the opposite end of a magnet. Everybody else was just warping right into him.
He was basically doing what Trae Young's doing to us.
Yes. Which is very good. And me and Stevie think RJ is the key to winning this playoff series.
Yes, because the way I see it, like I said, if he's doing what Trae Young was doing to us today, then we have to fight fire with fire and let RJ lead the charge.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he has to bring the ball up every time. It's cool if Derrick Rose and Quigley and whoever's running the point runs the point. That's fine. But if they bring it up before Julius Randle touched the ball, RJ should touch the ball first.
And he needs to touch it every time they cross half court.
And one thing I don't like about RJ, I love RJ as a player, but you got to demand the ball more.
Yeah,
there was mad times that you should have went to the ball and you didn't go to the ball.
Yes, you run from the ball.
I counted. No, I'm not going to say he runs from the ball. He doesn't go to it, though. Like, because there was moments, like, I counted maybe like four times he did that today. There was times like he scored a basket and then scored another basket. And rather gunning for the third basket, he waited on for the baseline three rather than going to get the ball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you saw they can't.
You gotta have the mentality of attack, bro. Like if you see it's working, you gotta
Mamba mentality it, bro.
Like I get Randall's the floor general right now and he's the leader, but bro, like don't be like he's your guy. Your yelling is way of you caring, bro. Like yell at him if you have to. Clap. It's not selfish if you're the one scoring.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're not selfish anyway. You dish the ball, so that shouldn't even be a problem.
And yeah, exactly. You could actually help Randall if anything.
Yeah, especially take them shots he don't make. Them bad shots he take. Those could be your shots.
And you could open up a lot more open shots.
Exactly. I would much rather you take a shot. Take a chance at a bad Randle shot and miss it than have Randle take a bad shot, if that makes any sense. You want me to say it again?
Yeah.
I would much rather RJ take a shot than have Randle take a bad shot, and I'd be cool with an RJ miss because Randle takes more shots anyway.
So just give RJ half of those shots. At least a little bit.
No. All right. Let's say Randle takes five bad shots. Just for the sake of argument. Let's say, for example, Randle takes five bad shots a game.
Mm.
Give two of those shots to RJ.
Okay.
That's what I mean.
Ah, all right.
Cut down his bad shots.
Okay.
Or his shots in general, just if it means getting RJ involved more.
All right.
I should have said it that way rather than the confusing way I said it the first time.
No, it's cool. You did Dr. Seuss.
I threw myself off a little bit. That's why I had to slow it down.
You pulled the Dr. Seuss too quick. Cat in the hat. It'd be like that.
I hope I didn't confuse y'all. I confused myself a little bit, but I knew what I was trying to say, if that makes any sense.
It kind of be like that. But listen, in retrospect, right?
Point being, we think RJ should lead the charge going forward.
I think RJ should be... Yeah, I think RJ needs to get the touches that he needs. He needs to at least touch the ball once. Like, we gotta move the ball. Like, the ball can't stop somewhere for too long. Cause the way to beat the zone is you gotta get it moving. They were kind of getting it at the end a little bit. They were kind of like playing with the zone a little bit. They were going back and forth, which was good because like they kind of it looked like they were getting the idea of how to break down the zone. So maybe they hopefully. Not maybe. They got to. They have to check film and make these adjustments. The way to beat the zone, from my knowledge, is you got to get the ball moving. The moment the ball stops, it's over. Because the zone is based off of help defense.
Mm-hmm.
The moment you stop in the... So Julius Randle, for example, right? He likes to get the ball on the wing or sometimes in the block. That's two major no-nos when you play a zone. Because you have the sideline and you have the baseline, which are your six men on the court, as you would call them. Basically, when Randle gets the ball in the block, the center, which is Capella, the guy that's guarding Randle, which is probably Collins or... what's the... Damn, what's that kid's name?
Collins, Capella.
No.
Huter?
Yeah, no. Some other kid. Anyway, whoever's guarding Randle, the center, and the guy that's on the wing, all three of those guys are now on Julius Randle due to the zone because everybody's so close. You know what I'm saying? So in order to beat the zone, you have to be able to swing the ball and get people out of their positions because then you find the holes. And that's where RJ was succeeding. He was finding the holes and he was attacking it. That's what Randle kind of needs. I think he moves too fast. But at the same time, he can't move too slow because he's getting doubled.
Right.
Basically, he just needs to get the ball out of his hands.
Randle needs to attack faster. Like, he waits. Like, he
does a triple threat thing, right? Like that. Like, he sizes up. Like, he does, like, the little jabs, like a mellow thing.
Yeah, like, I don't know why more NBA players don't attack as soon as they get the ball. Like, because that catches them off guard more. At least I think. That's how I used to play ball. Like, I wouldn't wait. As soon as I got the ball, I'm attacking.
I think he needs to adjust his game a little bit. Because I understand that he was the main scorer and he was having major buckets this season. But there's no point in you forcing that badge. Like, you know, but you can easily just kind of get everybody else open by flowing and passing the ball. Now, I'm not saying don't score. I'm just saying maybe, like, those crazy fast breaks? He would go to the baseline, just turn around, jump shot.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, cut down on those a little bit. Like, choose your shots just a little bit better. And I think we'll be okay.
Right.
Because the main thing of a zone, you got to get it moving. You have to move the ball around. Everybody has to touch the ball. So that means the point guard passes to the wing passes to the center passes it to the guy going baseline. The defense has to react to all those passes that I just said. It doesn't work if you just give it to Randle and everybody just moves.
I hear you.
And then you go ISO. And then now there's three guys on Randle and he has to do a jump pass across the court and turnover.
Right.
So
got you.
I think the offense needs to run a little bit better through everybody. And I think that's how we win this. I think that's how we blow this 3-1 lead out the water.
No, that's how they blow the 3-1
lead.
That's
how they blow the 3-1 lead out the water. Yeah.
But that's what we have to do to make them do that.
Yes. We need ball movement. ISO ball is not, it's clearly not working. Any thoughts?
Nah, I actually couldn't have said it better myself.
Bingo. How much time is left in this episode? This episode is kind of long. It feels like it's long.
Not really. It's actually going to be a pretty short one because we only have one more segment.
Yeah, pretty much. You already know what time it is.
Is it just me or...
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Just to throw it out there, yeah, we haven't done This Week in Knicks History in a while. It will be back. We'll actually do it next episode.
Next episode?
Yeah. Because we're either going to be out or we're going to have pulled off a 3-1 comeback. So, yeah, some history is going to have to be talked about either way.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah, so,
if we get there.
Yeah, if we get there.
But go ahead. It's your time to shine.
This is my time to shine. So here we go. Ready? Is it just me? Or should Obi Toppin get more minutes?
Should Obi Toppin get more minutes? You're talking for the postseason.
Talking for the postseason.
You know, I honestly do not see why not.
And I'm not saying an abundant amount of minutes. I'm just saying, because he averages like, I think what, eight minutes?
No. He averages 13.8
minutes. 13.8
minutes.
So I'll say give him...
like about an extra 5 minutes? 5-6 minutes?
Like what, 18?
I think he's earned that.
18
yeah.
minutes? 18-20 minutes?
Yeah, another 6-7 minutes. I would do that.
I'm down for that.
Because, dude, not for nothing. Yo.
He's been highly productive.
Yeah. In 13 minutes, he's averaging 7 points. 2 rebounds. He's not turning the ball over. He's only getting one foul. That's not bad coming off the bench.
And his defense is improving.
Yeah, he's playing pretty decent defense. He's not shooting too bad from the field, 57%.
And it's crazy that I'm actually advocating for this is because, like, I did not like Toppin in the beginning.
Oh!
I did not.
Aside from his 57% from the field, he's shooting 37% from three. I mean, bro... Yeah, I mean, it's obviously
we need 3 points. We need a. I'm not saying he's going to be the fix, but you want to put your best foot forward at all times.
Yeah, so I don't think it's just you. Like, Obi's shining. He's had a few highlight moments as well, dude. That two-handed oop he caught. Bro, that shit had the crowd chanting his name.
That he's definitely
had his mom's crying in the crowd and everything.
I saw that. And he's what you call a late bloomer, folks.
God, bro, what did I say? What did I say before the playoffs started?
You definitely called it. I'm not gonna lie, you definitely called it.
I said he was gonna shine a little bit in the playoffs, and he's playing good ball, man. Like,
and I think he's earned it. I think Tip, because okay, so right now, currently Thibodeau is kind of falling back into his old ways of coaching, but that's only due to the fact that he has Rose starting.
That's because that's how the postseason is mostly, though, not for nothing. Like, in the postseason, like, most, at least from what I've seen over the years of watching basketball, most coaches go with their, like,
their gut, their intuition.
Their set 9-10-man rotation and only use, like, those 11th, 12th men, like, if somebody's in foul trouble or somebody gets hurt or something like that. You know what I mean? So it's traditionally like that. But you're not wrong about the Rose thing, though, because, like,
he has to go back to the minutes.
He has to start balancing things out.
Yeah.
Because Rose can't do it alone, man. Like,
nah.
I love what Rose is doing, but we got to keep in mind, this isn't Rose from 2011.
Nah.
This
is Rose in 2021.
And he's still good. He's still good. Don't get it twisted.
But he's an old man, man.
Not even that. He's just like, well, yeah, you could say that.
He's not old, like, elderly old, but like he's
in NBA years he's elderly old. Like, yeah, if you're gonna go by NBA years, yeah,
he's
like,
an old guy.
In life, he's not.
And he's
old.
Guarding a 20-year-old, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Give him a break.
Yeah, and he's doing that. He's not doing too bad.
He's not doing that bad, man. I mean, you know, Trae Young is doing Trae Young things, man. No one said it was gonna be easy.
You know, like, it's.
But then again, no one said it was gonna be this hard. But you know, I thought we had a pretty good chance. It's clear. We're not seeing the same Nick team that we saw from the season.
Right.
But it kind of shows us maybe who we really are in a way. Because we are, our biggest problems are dead ass the problems that we were talking about earlier.
Shooting and perimeter defense.
Shooter and perimeter. Like, we thought it kind of went away.
Because we were playing good ball.
Yes. Now we know it's still there. Heavy.
And kind of, we kind of need a distributor, you know?
Yeah.
Because think about it, like, should we get a point guard? I'm assuming we're going to keep D Rose. Should we get a point guard, whether he's going to be the starter or part of the rotation, he's most likely going to replace Elf.
Elf on the shelf?
Elf for Payton. Because he was on a one-year contract anyway, so.
Sorry, Elfie.
Whether we bring somebody in the draft.
Just for the record,
whether we bring somebody in free agency, you know, they're going to be replacing Elfrid Payton, and there's going to be a point guard rotation.
Just for the record, though, I just want to thank Elfrid Payton for everything he's done for the team.
He's had
Shout
his moments.
Shout out to Elfrid Payton.
It hasn't,
though you aren't the most loved man in New York.
Nah, but the thing is, like, yeah, he's not, but New York fans can't deny he had his moments. He had his positive moments. Bro.
Everybody contributed to this team in some way.
Yeah, and you did too, Elfrid. You know, kudos to you. Give him a clap.
I'm giving
him
a clap, man. Elfrid. But your time is up, bro. I'm sorry.
Elfrid gets a clap, bro.
But your time is up, bro. I'm sorry.
Yeah, bro. You're not a part of the long-term plan, Elfrid. I hope you catch on somewhere else, though. You deserve it.
Facts.
I can see you on a postseason team, man. Like,
and hopefully you won't go in vain.
Not for nothing. Like,
hopefully we get somebody better than you.
I had thought, because there were rumors at the trade deadline, I had thought we were going to trade him to the Kings. I forgot who, but I remember that rumor was out there. It wasn't like a major trade. Like that. It was nothing crazy. I would have remembered if it was a major trade, I would have remembered the name.
Word.
But it was like a minor trade. We were gonna trade him for like a vet and like a second round pick. He would have been a good fit for them because they actually needed a backup point guard.
Tyrese Haliburton.
Yeah, and he had gotten hurt too, so that would have helped.
Yeah.
You know, Elfrid would have, I think he may end up over there.
He
may have a future in Sacramento. I'm gonna keep my eyes open on that. I wanna see if I'm right.
OD. Fuck it. But yeah, I think Obi Toppin should get more minutes.
Yeah.
I think he should. I think we both agree. You agree?
I thought we established that already.
We definitely established, but I just wanted to bring it back real quick.
No, we gave the numbers and like how he impacted the game, his highlights.
His intensity.
We talked about all that. We just drifted off.
Yeah,
we
kind of drifted off. But his intensity, I really like his intensity. I really like the way his confidence. He looks like a different player.
I hope
in my eyes.
I hope it carries into next year if we still have him. You know, like,
facts.
Who knows what's gonna happen.
Also, I'm glad you said that, Knicks fans. I want to be the one to say this because I'm always the one to overreact and say the season's over.
It's not over.
You know, I'm the one that overreacts.
It's
do not,
over.
Panic, Knicks fans. All right, whether it is or it isn't, we're saying it isn't. We are still a year ahead of schedule on everything.
Yes, we are, because we were not supposed to be here. Yeah, I remember.
Exactly. We are not supposed to be here right now.
We were supposed to be in the lottery.
Yes.
We were supposed to be tanking for Cade.
We were supposed to be tanking, indeed. But no, we hit fourth seed, and we are in the playoffs. Now, we are not doing as we would like to do in the playoffs.
You know, that's the hope.
But it just shows that, you know, maybe we just weren't there yet. We were hot enough to reach the playoffs. Now we just need to rebuild, or not rebuild, but we need to adjust and fix the players that we have and we could get to take us over the next hump.
I think this is a conversation we should save for the next episode.
Which we will, because that's why I was going to end it right here. I was baiting, like, you know, next time on Knicks Anonymous.
Remember, bro, like I said. But remember, bro, like I said, we might not be having that conversation. We might be talking about the 3-1 comeback.
You might be talking 3-2 next week.
You know what I mean? Like, nah, because, like, isn't, like, the next game is Wednesday? So the following game would be Friday, and then game 7 would be next Sunday.
Ooh.
Something like that.
So we could be back here talking about game 7.
Exactly.
Hopefully we see you guys there at game 7.
Whenever it is. I got to check the schedule.
Yeah, man.
I'll do that right now. Go ahead. Shout out.
No, that we're going to do a dab up, man. Dab it up.
Oh, my
fault.
Yeah.
Man, that dab it up, man. You already know. Knicks Anonymous, man. Shout out to you guys. 35 episodes in the book. We are in the playoffs. New York is still louder than ever. We know we are the place to be. We are the Mecca.
We are the people's voice as
well.
We
are the people's voice. Shout out to everybody.
Shout out to everybody who watched the live last week. And yes, I was right. Game 7 would be next Sunday.
Facts.
So Wednesday's game 5. Friday's game 6, Sunday's game 7. I was right.
Yeah, man. We love you guys.
Shout out to everybody who tuned into the live. Shout out to everybody who comments on our page. Shout out to everybody who likes the pictures.
Yes, we love the comments. We love to talk to you guys.
Yeah,
man.
We've been picking up a lot of traction lately. Yo, like, a lot of new people have been checking out our page, man. Shout out to y'all, man.
Big facts. We love you guys, man. Honestly, you know, we can't beat the people's voice without the people. And yeah. You are the people.
Because then we'd be talking to ourselves.
Exactly.
And we not trying to sound crazy.
Yeah, that's psychopath. You know, we're not psychos.
We're crazy for the Knicks, but, like, not like that kind of crazy.
I mean, in a sense, that's kind of being a psychopath within itself, is being a Knicks fan.
No, we're not that crazy. Dude, there's people out there that are Jet fans.
Ah! You know? Yeah, that's tough, man. That's tough, yeah.
I shout those people out, though. Like, you stuck it out with the Jets. Yeah, you're loyal.
Yeah, you're loyal, man. I mean, we're loyal in our own way.
But the Jets, bro.
Knicks fans are some of the loyal people.
Or imagine being a Timberwolf fan.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you find yourself a Knicks fan, they could be loyal.
Bro,
and I say could.
What about a Timberwolf fan?
Oh, God. How about a Detroit fan? Imagine
being that. The Pistons? Nah, the Pistons have a good tradition. They had Rodman. They had the Bad Boys.
Nah, but they're in last place right now. They suck.
Yeah, like, they're rebuilding like us. We just further ahead than
Yucky.
Them.
Nah, because Knicks are better, man. You already know. I had to do that. Sorry, Detroit.
Anywho, Knicks Anonymous. Let's wrap up episode 35.
Sorry, Detroit.
one love, everybody. Hopefully, next week, we'll be talking about a 3-1 comeback. Go, Knicks.
Let's go, Knicks, boy.